Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Shelf. This is Saturday, February the 13th, 2010, and I am your host, Denise Turney. I'm so happy to be here with you, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Today we have with us a phenomenal woman who is an active youth advocate and a journalist, a highly respected journalist. She has a rich journey working in broadcast media. She is a trailblazer who has hosted Youth Talk at the NAACP. She has also worked at Fox News and NBC's affiliate station WLWT. As a reporter, Felicia Brown has covered national conferences like the Essence Young Women's Leadership Conference. And to our journalist, reporter, and youth advocate listeners here at Off the Shelf today, please take note of the valuable information that Felicia Brown will share with us today. We'll cover a lot. For example, I want to cover some educational items and talk about Felicia's talk shows and her work with youth. Felicia is online at www.FeliciaBrownTalks, and that's spelled F-E-L-I-C-I-A, Brown, spelled the way it sounds, talks.com. Again, that's FeliciaBrownTalks.com. Please go visit her and save her page as a bookmark it as a favorite so you can return again and again and keep up with what this busy woman is doing now. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Felicia.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am absolutely wonderful and so happy that we were able to get you here for to be with us at Off the Shelf today. I know you have a full schedule and you do so much wonderful work, so it's a pleasure and a blessing to have you here with us. To begin, I just want to start talking about how journalism creates perception that impacts not only youth, which, of course, right now is really being put in a negative light, and I think that's something that has gone on traditionally through the generations, but to see the impact that journalism does have and the importance of doing good work as a journalist, because we create perception. So to begin, go ahead.
Definitely. I think journalism has a great impact on people because it's in so many capacities. It's in so many forms, such as TV, radio, like you and I are right now speaking, and online, especially with the social media new crunch right now. There are so many new things and new opportunities for people to get their foot into the industry.
Yeah, I agree completely. To begin, this is something that an old quote or a saying that's been around: the pen is mightier than the sword. And a lot of times you look at that and you say that doesn't make sense, until again what we just briefly touched on, you think about media and its expanding forms. It creates and influences public perception. With that said, Felicia, when you started out as a broadcast journalist, did you realize at that time, as you were just beginning, how much power your words would wield?
I had no idea. I started off in ninth grade. I was very young, 13 years old, and I had no idea. I started off with the ABC Careers and Media program for high school students. I did that for 4 years straight, a 4-year training program, and I was a kid reporter for Kids Voting, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I just know I used to watch TV and look on the television screen with my mother and my grandmother and say, I'm going to do that one day. So,
wow. Oh my! How old were you when you said you realized you knew you were going to go into journalism? How old were you?
I think after my first year in the high school careers and media program with the ABC affiliate back home in Cincinnati, that's when I knew I would go there more than I would actually do anything extracurriculum for, you know, like most kids were out riding a bike, I would head to that TV station and really get into it. And then I became the editor-in-chief of my high school newspaper back in Cincinnati.
Oh my goodness, that is fabulous when people know either their path or their purpose at a young age, because they can get started and get a lot of work done rather than waiting and finding that out later in their life. Internet blogging, and you touched on this, and the videos that are captured on YouTube and other social sites with cell phones, et cetera, they make it easy for just a layperson to be a journalism type of work without the professional journalistic training. They have the tools to spread the information, but they don't have perhaps the professional training. I want to ask you, do you see the trend of going to blog sites as a means of gathering, you know, staying up to date on a current event? It could be around a celebrity, it could be around politics, it could be around something that impacts families, etc. Do you see this increasing, that this will be the place, going to blog sites, that people will get their information? Do you see that increasing? And if so, what impact do you think that will have on listeners' or readers' ability to get to the heart of a story?
Definitely. I definitely see blogging and online sites definitely increasing. I feel that it has such an impact on just not just the younger generation. I'm a speaker for the youth, but I just feel that it has an impact on the world internationally, and it's continuing to increase. There's continued new developments for online material and online blogs. Like, I know when I wake up in the morning, I say my prayers, of course, but I also start my day off by looking at a blog. And one of my favorite blogs is the YBF.com, and I get on ABC Good Morning America and just read the online words and online articles, because that's where I get my first source of news for the day. But I also am a firm believer, I just love the smell of newspapers and actually seeing the newspaper and magazines right in front of me. So I know it's having a big impact on the world today, but I do feel that the morning talk shows, like I was listening to Barbara Walters the other day, is definitely going to continue to be around. The morning, like Good Morning America, I see that being around forever. And, you know, the morning talk shows will always be around, but I know blogging and the online websites might just be the leader for our future media.
Which kind of segues into the next question I was going to ask you. With the print media going through the changes that it's going through, and aside from the professional training around copyright, privacy rights, fact-finding, editorial analysis and research, et cetera, based on your personal experience and observations, in today's changing job climate, because people are being laid off from newspapers and magazines are folding and shutting down, would you say that blogging, although it might not be the perfect way, would you say, because I don't know if every blogger understands privacy rights and editorial analysis and research, but would you say that blogging is a good way to get started as a professional writer working in media, and can that lead to a job with, let's say, an ABC News or another television network?
That's so funny that you mentioned that. I've been researching blogging and experts, because what I do as a youth expert and youth correspondent, Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, as a youth expert and youth correspondent, I feel that it's good to find the expertise that you specialize in. Get a blog, get a website, start writing about a specific expertise, and, you know, get your name out there, because that's so important today. Your name carries a lot, in what you what you're an expert in carries a lot, because that can lead to a job on ABC. For example, Good Morning America, there's a lady by the name of Tori Johnson. She's a career coach. She started a website, it's Women for Hire, and now she's like an expert for ABC Good Morning America. So you never know how a blog can lead to something better. And like I mentioned, one of my favorite sites is the YBF.com. There's a young lady on the East Coast who started this website. She's created a brand for herself, and it's so important, just with a blog for young young African Americans. And I just think it's so important to do what you're most passionate about and get your name out there, because you just never know what it can lead to.
Wow. So that's one good thing about the internet. If you have a blog and it becomes popular and you begin to get followers, perhaps you're tweeting and you're on Facebook and you're directing people to your blog by putting out tips that you would include in your blog, and then you go to your tweeting sites, your Facebook, and you let people know, or your website, about these tips that you have at your blog, and then it directs your traffic there, and you begin to build a readership, then, yes, somebody else from a news network can find you. You don't even have to go knocking on doors, and they can see how popular that you are, and then they can come and ask you, would you like to work with us? And that's a way you could also begin to expand your writing and your journalistic career. Felicia, I want to touch next on when I talk about perception, also the way that people of color are represented in the media. And I've long thought that, the media, there could always be a more balanced perception and representation for people of color in print and electronic news stories. If we had a larger number of diverse journalists, reporters, and media professionals, that it could change that. I wanted to know, what's your take on this? Do you think it's balanced? There's a balanced perception for people of color, and when I say color, I mean diverse, all cultures. Or do you think that we have enough people of color working in the field, or do you think are things that could be improved and changed?
I think there has been a dramatic change since, like people like Oprah Winfrey, who's one of my favorite people I look up to, and there's another lady, Robin Roberts, who I really look up to on Good Morning America. I think things have changed, especially since they have started out. There's a lot of young kids, young African-American, young Hispanic, young Latino journalists out, and I see them blogging. It's just about them being noticed for their work. And I just feel like I don't like to really play the race card with journalism because, we've come a long way as African-American people, and mm-hmm. now I think it's up to us to really carve our own paths within this industry and just, focus on exactly what we want to do, because it can be done. Who would ever thought there would be an African-American billionaire woman who owned her own talk show and who's now going to own her own network, which is the Oprah Winfrey Network. So I just feel like, and most of her core demographic viewers are white women, that's in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And I just feel like, we have to kind of lean back away from the race card and just really get our hands and knees dirty a little bit and kind of dig in, because if you have a dream, you can achieve it no matter what color you are, where you're from. Even if you started off from poverty, you can do anything. And I just feel like me coming from Cincinnati, Ohio, now I live in New York City, which they say is one of the toughest cities to, burst into, because it's like the top market for media. You can do anything. And I just feel like sometimes as African Americans, we play the race card, but there is a need for more journalists of all ethnicities, black, white, Hispanic, female, So I just feel like that's so important to just start believing in yourself as a human being on this earth, because if you believe in yourself, you can do anything. And if you're called to do something in life, nothing can stop you, not your race, your sex, female or male, nothing can stop you if you're called to do something. I'm just a firm believer that if you have a voice and you're called to do something, you can do it and you will do it.
Very, very good. I love the scripture at your website. Again, FeliciaBrownTalks.com, and it's from Psalms 18:16, and it reads, "Your gift will make room for you and place you before great men." You mentioned that the way you got into the journalism field, and you then knew that this is what you wanted to do, was after you went to a program that your school had offered. Are there programs like that today that students can take advantage of? And if so, could you just tell us about them? Or if there aren't programs like that exist at a school, what can a student, a young person, do who might think they might want to get into journalism but they're not sure? What can they do to get their foot in the door?
Definitely. That's a great question, by the way. I just feel that if there aren't, there's a lot of programs. You just got to get on the internet, use your technology. If you don't have a computer, go to the public library. It's free. You can go there on Saturdays. You can go there after class, and you can really research journalism programs. Schools for Journalism is what I did. I was fortunate enough that my mom worked at the University of Cincinnati in the media and technology field that I was able to, you know, go to school for this actual program, and I knew a little bit before I actually entered college. But back to the question, you basically need to search for these programs in the school that you want to attend, and if you can't find anything, do what I did when I went to the University of Cincinnati, and I wondered, oh, why isn't there a National Association of Black Journalists chapter on campus? I started the first one. So
okay.
I started the program. So if you can't find something that's fitting what you're passionate about or fitting your needs as a young journalist or a journalist in general, start your own, because you never know. You might be setting up a path that other young journalists and people from the next generation will follow. And so I'm a firm believer in starting your own programs, especially if that's what you're called to do. And I just think that it's so many options out here. You can go to nabj.org. You can log on to the SPJ, S is in Sam, P is in Paul, J.org, Society of Professional Journalists. There's another good site, unity.org, which is Unity Journalists, which is Hispanic, African American, Asian, and Latino journalists all together united as one to help expand ethnicity in journalism.
Thank you so much for those links and that information, and also for our listeners here at Off the Shelf. You can also go to professional social networking sites, and the one that I use is LinkedIn, and you can also do searches for professional journalist groups, and then begin to network and connect with folks. And if you want to know how you or a young person that you know who might be interested in journalism can get more involved in the field, you just reach out to the people who are already members of that networking group you participate in and ask questions, and you'd be surprised at the responses that you get and how helpful other people will be. So with the internet, I agree with what Felicia says, and to piggyback on what she said, that it is a great tool to go and do research for journalism schools, either at colleges or they might be offered through high schools, even through some companies, to see what's their community involvement, and you might find about some school programs at high schools that way. Or then, as Felicia said, if something does not exist, then look into how you yourself can be a trailblazer and start such a program. I wanted to ask you, who were your role models before we go a little bit more into your talk shows and specifically what you do to work with and help youth, Felicia? Who were your role models and who worked with you to help you, other than the program that you worked in, as you began to become more seasoned as a broadcast journalist? Who inspired you? You already mentioned Oprah Winfrey and Robin, who's on Good Morning America. Were there some other people that you looked up to and modeled in the industry?
Definitely. I would like to say this. My mother has been my number one role model, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have even been exposed to public speaking and media and technology. She's into IT and media at the University of Cincinnati, and she really helped me. Like, she set me down when someone, this is a story back in college when I was really like a live reporter back at a TV station I'm not going to mention, but they kept continuing to steal my stories, and my mom, I was talking to my mom one day, and she said, you know, Felicia, you need to learn how to edit your own story. So that's why I stress again, it's important to learn how to do things your own and not depend on people in this industry, because if you know how to do it your own, then it's going to get done in a timely manner, and, you know, you'll be able to give someone else the knowledge that you receive. And my mom sat me down and taught me how to edit my own videos, my demo reels, and all of my shows that I'm currently producing right now. And, you know, that's my mom is like my biggest role model. She showed me how to do my own website with the HTML coding and everything else. She helped me with my press releases. She helped me write my freelance proposals. So she has been my greatest role model. She took me to hear Coretta Scott King speak, and we went to hear Maya Angelou speak. She even helped give me the idea when I interviewed Maya Angelou back in college for my school newspaper. And she was my greatest role model and my greatest inspiration. But I have always loved Oprah Winfrey. And a new person that I really like is Tyra Banks, because I really like the issues that she touched on. And I also like Diane Sawyer at ABC. She's another one of my inspirations. Mm-hmm. She's really
good. Yes, yes. And kudos to her. She continues to move forward. A friend from New Jersey, her name is Lisa Durden. She has the Lisa Durden Show. It's on a cable channel in New Jersey, which she's had for several years. She once told me that she wished she had interned with a television station while she was in college. She said that's an excellent way to get your foot in the door. And this is our last question on this before we start to talk about your talk shows. But I wanted to ask you, for our listeners who are interested or have parents who are just phenomenal like your mother was with you, who helped you get started on your path. And I really, really salute your mother for doing that, and all mothers and fathers who do that for their children. But would you say that interning is a good way? And I think you got to be a little careful with interning, because you don't want to just be the gopher and just making copies and getting people coffee. But is that a good way to get your foot in the door in broadcast journalism?
I definitely think interning is a way to get your foot in the door, because, you know, some people say you have to pay your dues. I feel like you should be paying your dues, but you also should have wisdom and common sense. While you're paying your dues, you might need to ask somebody, can I pick up a script so I can look at the script so I can write my own reporter's package at the same time. So interning is a great way, but you also have to have wisdom with it, because you can go so long interning, working for free for people, and things just continue to go that way and go that way continuously. So you need to learn when is the time to stop interning and to actually work on your own projects. But I commend every intern out there, because I had to start off interning as well. But that's what really taught me. I had people who helped me as an intern in TV stations, radio stations, and it just really helped me. Interning is good, but you have to also have a plan B, which is really great. So if you're interning at a TV station and you're at your school newspaper, and whether that's in high school or college or graduate school or even right now, you know, there's fellowships for adult journalists, you know. So you just have to have a plan B, and while you're interning, you know, start a blog, get a video camera, get a grant to get a video camera. You know, there's money out there. You just have to really go after it, research proposals and how to write up proposals. These are some things that I wish I would have learned even before I was even in high school, because I just could imagine where I could be right now, you know. So.
Wow. I'm reading a book called Crush It, and it's about a guy who took a blog. He worked, his parents owned a wine shop, and he took it, and it's now like a multi-million dollar business. I mean, he just took off with the social networks. When you said about, you know, having a plan B and knowing when to say, you know what, I've interned here and I've learned a lot. Now it's time to move forward. I think as in all of our careers and all of our lives, our personal lives as well as our professional lives, there comes a time when you have to stop. And I think doing this regularly can be helpful and honestly examine your life from a professional and a personal standpoint and say, what are the changes I need to make now to continue to move forward? I think that is an ongoing process, regardless of age, in every person's life that will benefit them if we just do that. So, yeah, interning is good, but do you want to intern forever? No. So at some point, you need to be able to examine that and say, okay, now what do I need? What changes do I need to make, and what do I need to do next? I want to begin to talk. I want to talk now of Felicia, and we're talking with Felicia Brown, the host of Felicia Brown Talks. She is a youth advocate, and she is a highly respected broadcast journalist. She's a trailblazer who has hosted Youth Talk at the NAACP, and she has also worked with the Essence Young Women's Leadership Conference, amongst the many other things that she has done. Please visit her online and bookmark her page. She's online at FeliciaBrownTalks.com. Her name is spelled F-E-L-I-C-I-A, and then Brown Talks is spelled the way that it sounds. Again, that's FeliciaBrownTalks.com. Please go over and visit her and bookmark her page so you can keep up with the wonderful things that this trailblazer is doing. Now, Felicia, I wanted to ask you, how did Youth Talk get started, and were you there from the show's inception?
Definitely. I actually am the founder and executive producer of it, and I edit the whole show and everything. And it actually started, it started back in, my last year of high school going into my freshman year of college. I just kept wondering, I'm a big Oprah fan. I keep saying this, but yeah, I love Oprah Winfrey Show. I used to watch this with my mom all the time. And I kept wondering, oh, she has this demographic that's for women, but what about the young people? What about the children? Oprah does interview children, but I'm wondering, what about the toddlers, the tweens, the teens, and the 20-year-olds who need a voice? What about the youth of America and of the world? And it started developing it, and I just couldn't sleep. I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it just kept coming to my mind. And I would jot ideas down, and I continued to work for it. And so one day in college, you could rent your own production equipment, like cameras and lighting equipment out. And so I just rented the equipment out, and then for some reason, I was able to start interviewing young celebrities for the CW station where I was a reporter back home in Cincinnati, Ohio. And for some reason, I built up this connection with entertainment reporting, and I could get all these interviews with great world leaders like Joe Osteen, B.B. King, Mary Wilson from the original Supremes, and just several celebrities. And then it started being a younger demographic of celebrities like Little Mama, who's also a young advocate for young girls in the rap industry and has positive message. And so I put this idea together, why not interview young celebrities that are facing, are dealing with everyday issues because they're in their teens and their 20 years old, and why not interview everyday young people that are actually dealing with these issues and young social changers? And so it all came together, and I thought, wow, Youth Talk, this is what we need. Youth Talk with Felicia Brown. And so I go one-on-one with the young people who are dealing with issues, and we talk about teenage pregnancy. We talk about children with diabetes, like Nick Jonas. He has diabetes. He's a Jonas brother, and there's so many issues, stereotypes with teens being gay and young in high school, and it just all happened. I'm in awe of what everything that's going on right now with the show.
Okay. I was going to ask you next, what void do you see Youth Talk filling? And you sort of touched on it, dealing with issues that impact young people and people of all ages, people who are dealing with health issues and other types of issues. I wanted to ask you, with all the interviews that you have done and your work in the broadcast journalist field and as a reporter and as a young person yourself, what do you see as the leading challenge or challenges facing youth today?
Wow. I think the leading challenge, I think before I say answer that question, I just feel like the thing that's affecting youth today is we have so many adults and people that are older than us who just say, oh, well, this teen has this issue, this young person is at risk, but they're not letting our voices be heard, and that's why I'm here as Felicia Brown, the voice of the youth, the new voice for the new generation, to help give them that voice and listen to them and say, if nobody else is here to listen to you discuss this issue, I'm here for you, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to fight this thing to the end until our voices as young people are heard all across the world internationally. And I just feel like that's one of the challenges, getting our voices heard as young people. So many adults can interview teenagers and say, oh, that's good, and ask us these questions, but are they really listening to our voices? Are they really listening to what we're saying? And that's our biggest challenge. So until people can start listening to the young demographic, because you know the young demographic just elected, played a major influence in electing our new president of the United States. So until they listen to our voices as youth of the world, then we won't be able to tackle some of these issues that are affecting our generation. So that's the most important challenge and the most important thing, and that's why I have created the platform Youth Talk as the voice of the youth internationally. I am going to fight until our voices is heard for the young generation all over the world.
Okay. And congratulations and thank you for the talk shows that you have, because I don't see a lot of that, or maybe there are other people who are trying to give youth a voice, but it hasn't yet caught on with the larger platforms. So I commend you for continuing to move forward and to work to make sure that youth are heard, other than from a journalistic standpoint, and maybe also inclusive of that. What can each of us, each individual person, do to help meet and overcome this challenge so that youth do feel that they have a voice on a large platform, not just in their school or in their community? Even some youth probably don't even think they have a voice in their community, that it's the adults that are always making all the decisions and whose voices are being heard, and the youth are just told to just follow along with the decision that we make. What can we do to overcome this or to meet this challenge, Felicia?
I definitely think mentoring is great, but I just feel like we just – an adult or someone needs to just take a young person and say, here, I'm listening. Let's have a conversation. It's always, I think one of my greatest interviews has been with Susan Taylor from the former Essence magazine editorial director. And I just love when I interview her and spoke with her, because she said it's her generation time to pass the baton to us. And I just, that was so uplifting, because we as young people, it's our turn to speak up, and we just need a listening ear from adults from across, around the world. And sometimes I know, like, our parents, they're always the ones saying, well, you should do this, you should do that. They're always pinpointing what we as young people need to do. But in reality, we can come to some common ground as children and parents and as young people and adults, and just say, you have to give some, you have to take some in order to, you know, receive. Like, I'm a firm believer, in order to receive, you have to give some. So we, as adults, I think if they can just lend an ear and just let the young person express themselves and you communicate to them what's going on with them, then I feel that is when the healing begins and when everything becomes together as a generation of people.
Okay, I certainly hope that you get the platform. And have you ever tried to reach out to, I know you've interviewed, this is not a question that I had originally set to ask, but in listening to you during the interview, this just popped up in my mind. Have you? I know you've. You said you're Maya. Also, Tyra Banks. You've interviewed Susan Taylor and Maya Angelou, who is, oh my goodness, phenomenal. Have you tried to reach out to an Oprah or a Tyler? I mean Tyra, so that you could broaden your platform. Have you?
I can't discuss that, but there's a lot of things in the works, and I'm just going to say that.
Okay. And the reason I said that, I would hope that you have or would, because I do think that you have something to say, as we all do, but you're very the way you present yourself and you are able to see things holistically, I think that you would be a good voice for the youth on a larger platform. I wanted to ask you, how long have you been speaking at high schools and colleges to help motivate students to do their best? And when did you decide to take on this task of connecting with your peers and motivating them toward excellence?
Definitely. My first speech was when I was 13 years old. There's a program back home in Cincinnati, Ohio, called The Horizons, and it's for young girls and that are under the age of 14 years old. And I was 13 years old speaking to this group of young girls that are like 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And that was my first speaking engagement. And after that, I just continued to speak at different schools and youth programs. And the lady that first recognized, I like to call it my gift as a young person, was a lady by the name of Rita Brooks, who was over and founder of the Horizons program in Cincinnati, Ohio, for young girls. And she saw me speaking today, and she said, we're going to get you here as a speaker to speak to the young girls. I just see you're driven, and I get along with a lot of the young girls, and I think I'm able to be that person that they look up to, and not going to criticize them, but help them and give them the advice that they need straightforward.
Okay. We are speaking with Felicia Brown here at Off the Shelf to our listeners and many people who have tuned in all over the world to listen to her today. Felicia Brown is a talented, and I call her a trailblazing, broadcast journalist. She is the host of Youth Talks. She has spoken at the NAACP. She has also spoken at many other events, including the Essence Young Women's Leadership Conference. She is a youth advocate, just a phenomenal woman and a talk show host. You can find Felicia Brown online at www.FeliciaBrownTalks.com. Her name is spelled F-E-L-I-C-I-A. Please go over, visit her online, bookmark her website as a favorite so you can keep up with the many things that she is doing. If you've tuned in this far, you know that there is more coming from Felicia Brown, so you'll want to keep in touch with her because she is truly going forward and she's doing work that will not only impact her life but the lives of many people in a generation today and in generations to come. Felicia, I wanted to ask you next to tell us about Do Something. Who is the program geared toward? Who is the audience for Do Something? And what are some of the benefits gained from participating in the program?
Definitely. DoSomething.org is a program for young people 25 and under who want to give back to their peers and to young people all over the world. I first found out about Do Something. My business manager and friend, Caitlin Clemens, and my friend, Kia Falsom, who's my publicist, they're very involved in my adventure as a youth advocate because they also are into media with youth and children as well, and Kia Falsom and Caitlin Clemens. And I came up with this idea. Kia's a teacher. She teaches journalism and media in Washington, D.C., and Caitlin's into children's media as well. And I came up with this idea, what's a strategy to get young people voices heard? So we developed For Kids by Children. And For Kids, we're creating a program that will allow young people to receive video equipment, audio equipment to put into different youth organizations all over the world so they can have an outlet to produce their own materials and get their voices heard about some of the issues affecting them. And so Do Something awards grants to young people that are 25 and under who want to, you know, I guess, help their peers in some sort of way. And it's just a great program. DoSomething.org, you can learn more about it. It's just a phenomenal organization, and it's geared towards youth. And some of their supporters are Jordan Sparks and Usher Raymond. It's a really great tool.
Okay, so they can go to DoSomething.org, anybody who's interested. Is there an adult who works with a youth organization or a young person themselves, and there's contact information or there's forms they can complete so that they can apply to receive a grant which will help them get equipment so that they can process or create their own programs, which gives them a voice. Now it's being told from that young person's perspective, and then they have a platform to share that information with a broader audience. I think that is excellent. And when I was researching for your interview and I saw that, I thought that was just tremendous that this grant helps people to get the organizations to get this equipment so that they can begin to share their voice with a broader audience. I just think that's fantastic. I wanted to ask you, who would you say, Felicia, today that youth look up to and try to emulate most? Would you say that athletes, entertainers, educators, community leaders, or their parents? Who do you think youth say they look at someone and they say, you know what, I really admire that person and I want to model them? Would you say categorically that that's generally an athlete or an entertainer, an educator, a community leader, or the young person's parents?
I would definitely say the young demographic is definitely looking up to celebrities and athletes right now because they have the most influence on our generation. Most young people might see this celebrity, a particular celebrity like Beyonce, on stage and say, oh, I want to dress like that. I want to do things like that. I like that Sasha. You know, but, you know, Beyonce is a great person, and I think that she's empowering women all over the world, but most young people are looking up to celebrities and entertainers, but there are also some young people who look up to their teachers for that inspiration, for that hope. I know a lot of people are really looking up to the president of the United States right now, President Barack Obama. So, yeah, it ranges, but mostly for the bulk would be entertainers and athletes. They
wow,
like
you know,
the limelight.
And that always fascinates me. And not that they are always the best role models. And that is always – not to knock celebrities, many of them are, but they have PR people. They have people who work with them to create a perception or image of them. It always fascinates me when people don't look up more to people that they see every day, people that are doing good things that in their own community that they can talk to one-on-one, face-to-face, and know that this is really who this person is. I know Michael Bazin right now has a mentoring. He's going around the country. You mentioned mentoring. That's one thing that we can do that is help youth, because everybody doesn't have a positive role model or somebody positive to model or to emulate or look up to. So mentoring is a good way to do that. Your commitment, Felicia, to empowering youth, I have to tell you, is commendable. I can hear it in your voice, and it's very it comes across with conviction. So I got to thank you for everything that you have done and plan to do. And I wanted to ask you next, Felicia, if you were standing before the President of the United States right now, and he asked you what the country should do first to continue to hear and empower youth, what would you tell him?
I would definitely commend him for his work on helping college students receive grants for college. And I would just say, helping young people get a good education. And as you know, First Lady Michelle Obama, she's working to help childhood obesity. And I think health education is so important to our young generation right now. And that's the first thing I would just say to him. And it's like they're already on board. They've already got the plan together. It's going well. And I just want to say one more thing. Gang violence right now amongst youth is so high. It's unbelievable. With the young boy, the high school student in Chicago, and then the young girl that was beaten, the 15-year-old girl that was viciously beaten by a group of teens in Seattle. That was just, oh my gosh, just overwhelming. And I think violence is another thing that we need to just put our hands over the youth in our generation and say, we've got to stop this. We got to work to fix this situation.
I would agree. And I think a lot of that starts in the home. That as parents, I know we do the best we can, but a lot of that starts in the home. And it starts when a child is very, very young. You see how long it doesn't take a child to learn how to eat or drink on their own, and then how to walk and how to begin to talk. Children are starting to learn as soon as they leave the womb, so we have to start teaching and modeling for them positively that soon, that early, because they learn very, very quickly. I wanted to ask you next, have you traveled abroad outside the U.S. to cover a story, and if so, could you share with us what that experience was like? And if you haven't traveled abroad yet, do you have plans to do that in the future?
Definitely. I have an exchange buddy. They call it exchange buddy from study abroad for Japan. Her name was Yang-Soo Kim, and she's a Japanese journalist, and she's my exact age, 24 years old. And we've had experience. We've discussed issues on how the Japanese youth see it versus the American youth. And we came to a common ground and understanding with one another. And I thought that was like one of my greatest experience, because this young lady, she came over my house. She's been there several times, and she speaks Japanese, and she just speaks a little bit of English. I studied Japanese in college, so that's where that came from. And I was able to see some of the different things that students from Japan, whether that's college students or high school students, how they view the world and the issues that are affecting youth. Technology is really big in Japan, and it's actually expanding in America. And so that's one of the common grounds that we had as an American youth and her as a Japanese youth.
I think, I'm glad we touched on that. That's one thing I think that is very helpful. I don't know, I served in the United States Navy. I didn't really travel outside the United States. I did serve in Hawaii. But I do think that as people travel, if you don't travel internationally, and I encourage either parents to help their children get a passport and either travel, if you don't travel internationally, at least travel abroad within the country that you live in, because I know we have international listeners here at Off the Shelf. At least travel abroad within the country that you live in and get outside the town that you grew up in, because if you don't do that, you might come to believe that what you see is all there is, or the way you and your family and your friends perceive and your community perceive things is the way everybody perceives the same thing. And when you travel abroad, you find out firsthand that is not the case. So I do encourage people to travel abroad, either within the country that they live in or internationally outside the country. Everybody I've talked to who has traveled a lot or internationally, they all talk about the benefit of that and how it opens their eyes. So I do encourage people to travel abroad if possible. I think that the work that you did with the other journalists from Japan is phenomenal. And then the fact that you also have learned how to speak another language. I mean, I cannot commend your parents enough. They did a phenomenal job. Oh, my goodness. And here are the rewards that we all see right now as we're speaking to you. Felicia, do you have a team of people as you pull together your information for your Felicia Talks, do you, and your other talk show programs that you work on, your blogs, your website, do you have a team of folks who help you to surface these pertinent news items that you blog about and cover in your programs? I mean, how do you go about pulling together this information? If you do it all by yourself, plus all the other work you do, I don't even know that there would be enough time for you to do that. Is there a team that works with you to help you do this?
I actually started off doing it by myself, but praise God, I have one of my really good friends, two of my really good friends, Kia Fossum, who is my publicist. She actually teaches kids, students at McKinley Technology High School in Washington, D.C. I actually spoke to her students recently. She teaches film media and journalism. And then Kaylin Clemens, who works with young people in crafts and cooking, crafts for kids. And they help me. They're my team. We keep a really tight team because we work well with each other. And my mom, that's about all. It's just the four of us. I'm always online. I never really sleep. I really want to be like P. Diddy one day, the person that never sleeps. I'm always up at 3 o'clock in the morning working on stuff, researching ideas. I like to stay on top of all of the issues in the news that are affecting teens and youth and tweens and even toddlers. I've been doing most of my publicity. I started off doing most of my publicity early on and at 14 years old by myself, and setting up the interviews from executive producing to editing is so important. That's why I really admire Oprah Winfrey and Tyra, because they can do these things. And another person is Tyler Perry.
He's a workhorse. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, they do all these things. And that's the greatest reward you can give yourself, is learning how to do it yourself first and being able to give it back to somebody else and show them.
Mm-hmm. What types of events, Felicia, for our listeners here at Off the Shelf? I'm sure there are people who would love to connect with you and hear you speak in person and meet with you and maybe have a one-on-one to ask you questions or just to hear you speak and engage with you. What types of events are you available to speak at, and how can people contact you, whether it be a college, a university, a corporation, or a youth organization, a church? How can people contact you if they want you to speak at an upcoming event?
Definitely. You can go to my website, FeliciaBrownTalks.com. You can email my publicist, Kia Fossum, at KIA at FeliciaBrownTalks.com. You can email me, Felicia at FeliciaBrownTalks.com, or go to the website. All the contact information is there, and I'm always willing to speak at any youth event because I love our generation. I feel like we are the future leaders of the world, and we have to step up and take that baton that Susan Taylor from Essence was telling me and just accept it and, you know, move forward with it. And so I'm always willing to speak to any youth or teen. Even if you need advice, call me. I'm here.
Wow, that is tremendous. For our listeners here, as we come down to the last few minutes of the show here at Off the Shelf today, we are speaking with a trailblazer. Her name is Felicia Brown. She is a youth advocate, a highly respected journalist who works in the broadcast media industry. She is the host of Felicia Brown Talks, which is a show that she actually created herself. She has spoke and hosted Youth Talk at the NAACP. She has also worked with NBC affiliate station WLWT. She's a reporter, and she has covered national conferences and has interviewed many, many people, including Maya Angelou and Susan Taylor, former editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine. She's worked at the Essence Young Women's Leadership Conference and other conferences. She is online at www.FeliciaBrownTalks.com. I do encourage you to stop over, visit her online at her website, and bookmark her website. For this reason, she is continually to move forward. She is truly a trailblazer, which means she creates things. She causes things to happen, and then she's working with youth to help the generation of youth now and future generations, which will positively impact all of our lives. I want to ask you next, Felicia, has the actual process of working as a journalist in broadcast media and other forms of media that you work with, because I know you also have your website and you blog and you've done television and radio, has this process of being a journalist, has it met up with your expectation and your dreams of what you thought it would be like?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think when I started out, I just wanted to be a news anchor, but I always know deep down in my soul that there was more work to be done. And I just feel like the work that, I guess the plan that God had for me was bigger than what I could see at the time. And it's still growing. And just to let you know, I'm going to be doing a national youth summit with a very known person in the media field that I can't say right now, but I will be sending you a press release soon.
Okay.
And it's really a form. We're going to be working with several young celebrities internationally, young celebrities from the UK as well. And I just feel like this is bigger than me. This is greater than who I am as a person. And it's really just all to help youth. It's not for money, fame, or fortune or anything. It's just to help youth, to let them know that if somebody tells you no and somebody says that you're too young, you can't do this, you need to wait maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 years, know that you can do anything, no matter how old you are. Anything you want, you can achieve it as long as you put your mind to it and dedicate yourself to it. And so I think, I don't know, that's basically it. You can do anything no matter how old you are. I've had people tell me, I'm too young. I need to wait a little bit, slow down. When people tell you you're too young, you need to slow down. I say dream bigger, work harder, move faster, think smarter, because age is just a number. And that's even for the older journalists out there. If you have a dream and you haven't achieved it yet, go back, do it, because you're never too old to do anything, just like you're never too young to do anything. And I think that's one of the greatest things that people should know.
Oh, so well put. You have so much conviction with the work that you're doing, and that is so empowering for you. It just comes across so clearly. The conviction that you have for what you are doing is just phenomenal. I wanted to ask you next, as we only have 3 minutes left in the show here today at Off the Shelf, have you ever, Felicia, you have so much to share, have you ever thought about writing a book to chronicle your experiences as a broadcast journalist?
Yes, I'm actually currently working on something right now for a book for youth, and just to share my experiences with the industry, because I started off very, very young when most high school and grade school students were, you know, probably outside riding a bike, playing basketball, or, you know, but my mom kept me very involved in extracurricular activities. I even was a cheerleader, but I always had this love for journalism and writing way back when my mom gave me my first typewriter at our house back in Ohio. And I just, and, you know, she worked her media and technology was inside the University of Cincinnati Library, and she exposed me to all these things. So, you know, it's just so important to have good parents and good mentors around.
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree. We only have 2 minutes left here at the show. I do want to encourage our listeners to go over and visit Felicia online at FeliciaBrownTalks.com. You can contact her there if should you want her to appear and attend and speak at an upcoming event at a college or university, a youth organization, a church. She would speak at many different events that she says she has things coming up in the future. You're going to have to bookmark her website as a favorite, because this woman is truly a trailblazer, and that's the only way you're going to be able to keep up with everything that she's doing. And when she sends us the press release on the upcoming event, we will notify our listeners here of that so that you can support her and tune in. But the best way to keep in touch with Felicia would probably be to bookmark her website, follow her along as she blogs, just so you can keep up with her because she is moving and moving fast. Felicia, very, very quickly, as we only have a minute left, what last words of encouragement or advice would you like to leave with our listeners here at Off the Shelf?
Oh, wow. I just feel like I said this before. If you have a dream, people are going to tell you no and no repeatedly. You're going to get a lot of no's, but you got to be strong enough to stand on a gazillion of no's just for one yes, because that's so important. Because people tell you no because they can't do something themselves. But if you believe in yourself and you look in the mirror every day and say, I know who I am, I know what I'm called to do, I'm going to do what I'm called to do in life, then you will achieve what you're called to do, and you will achieve that goal or that dream. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, you can do anything you put your mind to, and just have the faith. And like I say, believe in God, because he never fails us.
Yes, yes, so, so true. Thank you so much to Felicia Brown here for being with us here today at Off the Shelf. I do encourage you to visit Felicia and tune in to Felicia Brown Talks. And visit Felicia online at her website, FeliciaBrownTalks.com. Thank you so much to all our listeners who tuned in from all over the world today. We so thank you for being here. The show will be up if you want to come back and listen to it again. It will be up later today so that you can listen, take down the advice, the tips that Felicia shared today. I also encourage you to visit me online at www.chistell.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Long Walk Up, which is in bookstores, or you can order it directly off my website or Amazon.com. Borders, Barnes & Noble, all bookstores carry it. You can pick up a copy and order it today. Thank you again to Felicia Brown and to all of our listeners. Remember what she said, that no dream is too big, because nothing is too big for God. And believe in yourself. Always remember that you're truly valued, so incredibly important, and very, very loved. See you same time next Saturday, 11 o'clock, back here at Off the Shelf. Thank you, and bye for now.